Nehemiah chapter 6, the Bible said in verse 1, "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you?" The Lord spoke to my heart about what's going on in our day and in our hour and in our time. I believe we have some enemies that are very real. And I believe behind the scenes, things are being coordinated against the work of God. And I believe there are those in our country and in the world that would not mind at all to see the work cease, to stop. I'd like to preach for a little while this morning on the greatest work in the whole wide world. That would be, friend of mine, the work of God. What God is doing in the world. Pray with me, please. Our Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be here at Bible Way. Lord, we look for and long for the day, Lord, when we see the number of people coming that were coming before this virus came in. Until then, our Father, would you encourage us? Would you help us to realize, our Father, that your work is still the most important work on the face of the earth? Lord, would you help us to realize what an honor, what a privilege it is to be involved in that work in some capacity? God, I praise you, Lord, for your goodness. As we look in the Scripture, Lord, would you please speak to our hearts? God, will give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I looked up something, see if I can find it here, yesterday sometime. I just typed into a Google search, the greatest needs in the world. And these are the first five or six, seven, what popped up. The one at the top was climate crisis and clean energy. The next one was education for development. The next one was environmental and corporate sustainability. The next one was global public health. The next one was human rights and access to justice. The next one was marine conservation. The next one was social economic development. And the next one was wildlife conservation. I want to say this to you this morning. They missed it. The greatest need in the whole wide world is salvation that can only come through the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest need is the preaching of the gospel. The greatest need, beloved, is the work of God to flourish in the world. You're going to see in the message today, we're going to be all over kind of the book of Nehemiah. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. But you're going to see the word great come up over and over and over. Sometimes referring to something positive, sometimes referring to something negative. And by the way, beloved, if you look at a battery, it's got a positive post on it, and it's got a negative post on it. Let either one of them get corroded, and the car won't start. Let either one of them get disconnected, and the car won't start. Ask my wife. Years ago, when we first got married, we got in a fight. I mean a fight. One of them good ones. Amen. I didn't know nothing about marriage, and what I did know, I wasn't sure I was doing the right thing. My son told me the day he about passed out before he got married, he said, "Dad, I don't know about this." I said, "Son, it's too late now." I mean, he was standing over to the side room down at the Baptist church in Church Hill getting ready to walk out on the stage, and he was white as a sheet. I said, "It's too late now." Miss Eve got mad at me, and it was football season. I remember that well because she said, "I'm going to Mama's." Now, Mama's sometimes ain't too bad, but when Mama's is 435 miles away, that's not good. Amen. And I opened the bedroom door, Brother Don, and she was throwing them clothes in the suitcase. She was not placing them in there. She didn't care whether it's folded, wrinkled, or whatever. She was throwing them in there. I said, "Oh, she's serious." So I just went out on the car, and I raised the hood, and I took a little old wire off of the coil right in the middle. Daddy taught me years ago, all them other wires don't mean nothing if this one ain't there. I rolled it up, put it in my pocket, and went back in, went back to watching the football game. And she got out in the car, and that thing went, yeah. I was grinning a little bit by then. She come back in and said, "The car won't start." I said, "It won't." And I put that wire back on the next morning. She never did know for years till I got saved and confessed my sin. Amen. But I'm just telling you, Nehemiah is going to tell us both sides, the positive and the negative, about some things that are great. And I believe there's a great need in the world, a great need for the work of God. I wonder today how many churches are suffering because their congregation has no idea that though the virus has come in, the work of God must go on. The gospel must go out. I wonder, I know in the early days, I haven't even looked online, and that's the truth. In the early days when we were coming in here and making videos, we would look and maybe there would be 200 or 300 people watch the message that week. And that encouraged us. The last time I did look was probably 6 months ago, and it wasn't encouraging. Because I tell you, there wasn't enough numbers to even, beloved, make up for the people that weren't here. And I wonder how many people, Brother Grizzle, if they are watching it online, or flipping pancakes while they're watching or listening and not really paying attention to the Word of God. Help us, Jesus. Your work is important. Your work does not need to be neglected. Your work is needed in the world that we live in. I'll give you some things today. The Bible said here, Nehemiah said, "I'm doing a great work." Well, anytime there's a great work going on, you can believe that the enemy is going to try to hinder that work. They were hindered by opposition. They were hindered by people that were mocking them. They were hindered by the rubbish, so to speak. There's a lot of things that will hinder or try to hinder the work of God. I can't help it. But when I when God was speaking to my heart about this work, my heart and my mind went into the children's churches. My heart and my mind went into the Sunday school classes. My heart and my mind went into the Bible school. It went into the vans rolling up and children jumping off of them with smiles on their faces. I will say this morning, I don't mean to be critical, but if there's not a longing in your heart to get back in your Sunday school class, there's something wrong. If there's not a longing in your heart to see this stage full of kids again, there's something wrong. If there's not a longing in your heart to see this choir full again, singing the praises of God, there's something wrong. Beloved, I believe with all of my heart, the work of God is a great work. Let me give you some things. This may not be the best way to start it off, but maybe it'll get our attention anyway. the word great, how it's used in the book of Nehemiah. If you go to Nehemiah chapter 13, you don't have to turn there. I'll read the verse for you. You can make a note if you want, go back and look at it. The Bible said, shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil? The first thing I want to talk about just for a moment is great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives. Let me ask you a question. If it was a great evil in Nehemiah's day for the people of Israel to marry strange wives, to marry outside of their faith, how much greater is the evil today when you have a man? At least this is natural. When a man wants to marry a woman, at least it's natural. How much greater is the evil and what's going on in our society, in our time, that's unnatural against the Word of God, against the things of God? Beloved, listen, I believe with all of my heart, it's a great evil. What's going on? A great wickedness that's going on in our society today. And Nehemiah called it, how can we hearken? Shall we hearken unto you to do all of this great evil? Beloved, listen to me. This is amazing to me. But there are quote-unquote churches where people that not only support that stand in pulpits, but people that live that way stand in pulpits. And that is wicked in the eyes of God. There's a great evil. That means there's even more need for someone to stand and stem the tide of the wickedness and stand against the wickedness that's going on in our world. The Word of God not only talked about the great evil, it's the greatest work. We're fighting against the great evil, but there was great affliction. The Word of God said in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse number 3, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. In Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 37, and it yieldeth much increase unto the kings whom thou hast set over us because of our sin. Also they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in a great distress. You say, Pastor, I don't know why you would read that. That doesn't apply in our day. Hold on, beloved. You listen to me and listen to me well. In the world that we live in today, let me read you some things. The World Watch List provides an assessment of 50 countries where Christians face the most severe types of persecution. At the very top of the list, the countries which show extreme levels of persecution are North Korea, Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, Sudan, Yemen, Iran, India, and Syria. The World Watch List in 2020 does not give much hope for the persecuted communities. Indeed, it presents a grim picture of the situation of Christians globally, making it very clear that the persecution encountered by them continues to get worse. The report identifies that in 2020, 260 million Christians live in the World Watch List top 50 countries where Christians are at risk of high, very high, or extreme levels of persecution. This is up from 245 million in 2019. The report also emphasizes some important negative changes within global trends of the persecution of Christians. Furthermore, it identified that the countries that had previously avoided more intense levels of persecution, such as Sri Lanka and Burkina Faso, have, in that reporting period, experienced destabilizing violence, highlighting the fragile persecution context in West Africa and in South Asia. The report suggests that we should be positive about the future for persecuted Christians globally, as faith actors across the world
are standing firm and strengthening communities against the odds, church leaders, wider church networks, and faith-based non-governmental organizations provide a lifeline of care in isolated places where no other help is forthcoming. However, the numbers and the narrative gives a very different impression. According to the report, the situation in China continues to worsen as more and more churches in China are experiencing pressure at the hands of the Chinese state. Indeed, in the reporting period, over 5,500 churches have been destroyed, closed down, or confiscated. In India, Christian minorities are subjected to extreme persecution, which manifested in at least 1,445 physical attacks and death threats against Christians in 2019. In Nigeria, in 2019, approximately 1,350 Christians were killed for their faith. Indeed, these numbers do not give much hope to the persecuted. It is crucial to realize that more and more states are waking up to these issues, recognizing that it requires a comprehensive response. Among others, the UK, the US, Poland, and Hungary have been leading the way. This is visible in many parts of the world, no least in Nigeria. In Nigeria, Boko Haram and Fulani herdsmen have been perpetrating mass atrocities unabated for several years. In January 2020, a new actor to the region has emerged, the Daesh fighters. They have been reported to have killed several Christians with a promise to continue to spill more blood without mercy. You say, Pastor, why would you take the time to read that? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, because we read in the Nehemiah that these people back there were in a time of great distress. We've been spoiled rotten here in the United States of America. And if we're not careful, we'll go to sleep. And if we're not careful, we go to sleep on God. We'll be experiencing the same thing the churches around the world are experiencing. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, that in our country, churches like this, Bibles like this, people like us are in the way, beloved, of what they want to accomplish in the country that we live in. I believe with all of my heart, I do not believe we're going through the Great Tribulation. But for years, all of my ministry, I've believed that there may come a time when the church will be under great persecution because she refuses to bow to the needs and the demands of this world. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, I believe with all of my heart, it's a great work. There's great evil. Yes, there is. There's great affliction. Let me give you this. When the work of God is going forward and things are being accomplished, in Nehemiah's day, they made fun of him, said, well, if a fox run up against that wall, it would knock it down. They mocked him. But I'm going to tell you something. They saw it beginning to happen. Oh, well, Brother Don, wouldn't a revival be wonderful? Oh, Brother Don, it wouldn't matter to me who was preaching. It wouldn't matter to me whose church it broke out in. Oh, but just the fire of God break out in our land, amen, and spread from bosom to bosom and church to church, and people get back serious about the work of God. It'd be awesome. It'd be awesome. Hey, beloved, listen, there's a great evil, great affliction, but then there's great indignation. In verse number 1 of chapter number 4, the Bible said it came to pass when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. You say, preacher, what did that mean? It means he was mad. It made him angry. It, beloved, listen, there are those, beloved, that are going to rejoice with us if the work of God goes forward. But there are those that are going to have great indignation. The Word of God said he was wroth and took great indignation and he mocked the Jews. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. This Bible is being mocked in our generation. Bible preaching is being mocked in our generation. Bible churches are being mocked in our generation. You raise your kids for God, I'll tell you, beloved, listen, somebody will be poking fun at you. They'll tell you that you're robbing your kids of the things of this world. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved, listen. There's a work. It's an important work. And it's the work of God. And when it's going forward, there's going to be great indignation. Not everybody's going to like it, beloved. Some are going to hate it. Let me give you this morning. We'll get on now to the positive side of the power. Amen. Not only does Nehemiah teach us there's a great evil, a great affliction, and a great indignation, but I like this. I believe it was 1 John that said it. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Oh, beloved, Nehemiah over and over and over teaches us about a great God. There's a God that's greater than the evil. There's a God that's greater than the affliction. There's a God that's greater than the indignation. And I appreciate my God, don't you? Nehemiah, let me just read you for a few verses. Nehemiah 1, verse 5. And he said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 14. And I looked and rose up and said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. You say, Pastor, why are those churches in all around the world, why are they willing to give their lives? Why are they willing to subject their families? Why are they willing to keep on assembling and worshiping God? I tell you why. Because they're more afraid of Him than they are them. Amen. There's a fear of God in their heart. And the Word of God said here, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. Fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. I appreciate the Lord, don't you? The Bible's teaching us, listen, not only is the evil great, and the affliction great, and the indignation great, but thank God there's a great God that can overcome it all. And Ezra, Nehemiah 8 and verse 6, Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. I tell you what, beloved, let me ask you something. When people look at your life, when they look at my life, do they see a reflection of a great God? Amen. Let me tell you something right now. When we're doing like the children of Israel, going around murmuring and griping and complaining, they're saying, where is their God? Amen. But thank God, listen, if you can go through the valley and say, hey, I've got a lily here walking with me in the valley. I tell you what, I don't know what he's up to, but whatever he's doing, it's for my good because I love him, amen, and he's got a purpose for my life. I believe with all of my heart it makes a difference. Nehemiah 9:32 said, now therefore our God, the great, the mighty, the terrible God who keepeth covenant and mercy, let not all the troubles seem little before thee that have come upon us, on our kings and our princes and our priests, on our prophets, on our fathers, all thy people, since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. They committed it to a great God. And beloved, that's what we need to do in our generation. You say, preacher, what made God so great? Let me just give you a couple things hurriedly. Number one, he has great power. Nehemiah 1:10 said, now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. You want to know why I'm standing here today? You want to know why I'm not still a slave to sin? I'll tell you why. It's because I met a God that had more power than the devil has, had more power than sin had. And beloved, he changed my life, amen, and set me on the right path and put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. Beloved, listen, he has great power. Then the Bible teaches us he has great goodness. Nehemiah 9. And verse 25, they took strong cities and a fat land and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards, olive yard, fruit trees in abundance, so that they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. I'm telling you what's the truth, beloved. Listen, God not only has great power, He's been good to you. He's been good to me. Oh, I thank God, beloved. Listen, He's been good to me. I've got something to eat. I've got something to wear. I've got somebody that loves me more than all of that. I've got a home in heaven when I leave this stinking world. Amen. I tell you, I've got treasure laid up over yonder. Amen. Where the moths can't eat it and the thieves can't steal it. Amen. And the rust can't get to it. I thank God. Listen, you know what that means? That means my Chevrolet will have to stay down here because the rust ain't going to make it. Amen. Yours too. Say amen. I appreciate the Lord. Great goodness. You know the children. Think about this for a moment. They pray a little prayer over their meal. They'll say, God is good. God is great. Did you know that says more than a lot of people say when they pray? Let us thank Him for our food by His hands. How many of God's people realize who's feeding them? We are fed. Give us now our daily bread. You can't beat it. I think it does good sometimes. Brother Grissom, when we bow at the table, just say, God is good. God is great. Let us thank Him for our food. I believe it does good sometimes just to sing, Jesus loves me. This I know. I got a book that tells me so. Little ones, to Him belong. A lot of times, beloved, when we're thinking that, we're thinking about the little babies and the children. Hallelujah. I'm one of God's youngins. Amen. One of God's little children. I thank God for that. Years ago, Brother Don, my son, was asking the blessing. His sister had asked the blessing for a year or so. He was growing up and he wanted to ask a blessing. He had the mashed potatoes and meat and gravy on his plate, and he bowed his head. We all bowed our heads. Jeremy come out with this. He said, God is good. God is hot. When he bowed his head and closed his eyes, his nose went down in his mashed potatoes and gravy. I looked at my wife and said, the Bible said, our God is a consuming fire. I said, He is hot. Amen. For a year he prayed with one eye open and one eye closed. He'd tell you that every time. About a year later, he said, Dad. I said, what, son? He said, both eyes closed. He prayed with both eyes closed. I can remember another time when he was asking the blessing. Now he was not saying the God is good prayer, but he began to thank God for his plate, for his fork, for his spoon. Brother Don, the time he got that far, I was weeping. I don't know how old I was, but I had never thanked God for a fork or a spoon or a plate. My little girl, Amanda, she was laughing when he got done. I said, what's the matter, baby? She said, you know, Daddy, Jeremy thanking God for a fork and a spoon and a plate. I said, well, suppose Mama brought your mashed potatoes in here and throwed them down on the table, poured gravy on them, and you had to eat them with your fingers. She said, ooh, yuck, Daddy. I said, maybe it ain't such a bad idea to thank God for a fork and a spoon and a plate. I'm telling you, beloved, Nehemiah realized he had a great God. And he was bathed in God's great goodness, great power. Great goodness, great kindness. Nehemiah 9:17. The Bible said, but thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsooketh them not. You and I can be glad, beloved, that we serve a God that's kind. Amen. The Bible talks about it in 9:31, Nehemiah. Great mercy.
Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and a merciful God. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. I believe a great God deserves our best. I believe a great God deserves His people to put their shoulder to the wheel and be involved in His great work. The great work of getting the gospel out, seeing people saved by the grace of God. Amen. Give you a couple of things quickly, and I'll close this morning. The Bible said it was a great work. In chapter number 4, verse 19, I said to the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large. I'm going to say this, I'm not trying to be critical. I wonder how many pastors, let alone people in his church, see past our little gathering and realize the work that we're talking about is bigger than my Sunday school class, bigger than my children's church, bigger than my church. We're talking about a worldwide work. The missions program. Around the world. You say, Pastor, what does it matter? Oh, beloved, it matters. I thank my God, Brother Grizzle, that we haven't had to tell one missionary, can't support you anymore. You say, well, you bragging on Brother Grizzle? No, I'm bragging on God. I'm bragging on God's people. It's been faithful through this mess. Keep on giving their tithes. Keep on giving their offerings. You say, Preacher, what if people aren't? I tell you what, I don't know who he is. I don't know who ain't. But I know the one that knows who he is. You say, Pastor, why do you want them to obey God? Because I want them to be blessed by God. And they're missing a blessing if they're not involved in the work of God. It's great. It's large. We're separated upon the wall. I'm not in New Mexico with Brother Ford, but I've been with Brother Ford, and I'm going to tell you something. He's preaching the same Bible I'm preaching. He's preaching the same Jesus I'm preaching. He's preaching the same hell that I'm preaching, the same heaven that I'm preaching, in the same spirit that I'm preaching in. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I'm just trying to get you to see the work is bigger than us. It's bigger than us. Brother John has mentioned it many times standing in this pulpit teaching Sunday school. Brother Brian has mentioned it many times teaching Sunday school. We're not the only church in Kingsport that's preaching the right message. We're not the only ones going and getting them on a van. We're not the only ones trying to teach the children. We're not the only ones supporting missionaries. Brother Cecil did a great job. Had a heart for missions and missionaries. And I thank God for that. A great work. Nehemiah 6:3, we read it a while ago. I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? Beloved, listen to me. Old Slewfoot, he gonna jump up on your shoulder one day if he ain't already. And he's gonna try to convince you. There's better things you could do with your tithe. There's better things you could do with your time. There's better things you could do with your talent. Can I remind you something about Slewfoot? He's a liar and the father of a lie. He's a liar. There's nothing better that you and I could be involved in than the worldwide work of God. Wonderful. You say, Pastor, what's going to happen? Well, I'll close with this. In verse number 12, chapter number 8, the Bible said, and all the people went their way to eat. You remember, they've already found the Word of God. Ezra has stood up and read the Word of God 1/4 part of the day. They've got their faces to the ground. They're worshiping. And they're also repenting. If you've went for a while without the Word of God, when you get back in it, you're going to have to repent. Help me! You're going to have to say, God, I'm sorry. I've been AWOL. You never did give me permission to leave. All the people went their way to eat, to drink, to send portions, and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Nehemiah 8:17. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths. They sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun unto the day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Brother Don, I told the church, you may could help me with this. I don't know exactly the time frame, but 10 or 12 years ago they told Brother Cecil not to preach anymore. It's been a while when he had that real bad heart trouble. I may be off on that time frame a little bit. But they told him they'd leave that alone. This is why I told the church Wednesday night. I will promise you and guarantee you that today he's glad he listened to God and didn't listen to man. Nehemiah, his people have got the Word of God out. They're reading it. They're worshiping. They built them some booth. They're resting in the Lord. The work has been finished. And there's great gladness in their heart. I'll tell you this, by the way, we're without excuse. We can finish the work that God's given us to do, and at the end of the path, there'll be great gladness. Or we can lay down on the job, and there'll be great sadness at the end of the way. We're without excuse. God's given us the Holy Ghost. God's given us a Holy Bible. Amen. We've got everything we need to get the job done. For the glory of God. The Bible said there was very great gladness. Nehemiah 12:43. And I'm done. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. David said this somewhere. I believe it was David. And I'll have to paraphrase because I may not get it exactly right, but it's close. God forbid that I would offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing. Can I tell you something? If you are going to be all that you're going to be for the glory of God, pastor's going to be all that he's going to be for the glory of God, it's going to cost you something. The Word of God said here, they offered that day great sacrifices. For God had made them to rejoice with great joy. You know what that reminds me of? I didn't plan on saying this, but here it comes. Over there in the book of Corinthians. For the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. That's somebody that's just slap happy that they get to be involved in the work of God and do something for the glory of God. Ain't that good? Great joy. Rejoicing with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoice. So that the joy of Jerusalem, get this now, was heard afar off.
Brother Larry, wouldn't it be good to be so much joy around here that it was heard afar off, that others would hear afar off? Well, you say, Pastor, if God wants us to have that kind of joy, what's going to keep us from it? Self. Selfishness. Satan. Amen. The system of this world. Don't drive these stakes too deep. Be like Abraham. I'm just going that next hill, because just over that next hill, I'm looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Can I tell you something? This is exciting to me. I get a new body to move into that new city. Amen. Something else that excites a country boy, I was reading one day and I found out they go in and out. So I don't have to stay in the city. I said that in honor of Nancy Pelosi. I don't have to stay in the city. Praise God, I can go to the country. But I'm going to tell you something. Wherever he is, we'll be wanting to spend a lot of time there. Really, spend is not a word you can use in eternity, because spend is something that's gone, and in eternity, time will be no more. The songwriter said it like this, won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear, gloriously singing with heart bells all ringing. Won't it be wonderful there? I'm just glad you come this morning.